podcasting from Lake Orion, Michigan, where living is a vacation. It's the Rock Your Wellness Podcast, a bi-monthly podcast about how to rock a healthy approach to living that will supercharge your fitness and energy levels without having to turn your life upside down. And now, here's your host, fitness professional, health coach, and nutrition guru, Chuck Jones.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to the Rock Your Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Chuck Jones, and just like Eddie Murphy in the movie Coming to America, I am very happy to be here. Now, I totally get probably over half of you will have no idea what I'm talking about there. The other half, hey, you're welcome. What I'm not so happy about, though, is this growing popularity of the Netflix film What the Health. Okay, over the past several weeks, I have had a ton of people asking me what I thought about this documentary. And I figured this podcast might be a decent forum to kind of give a brief review of the movie and provide a bit of insight as to why I think you should basically disregard almost all of what this documentary has to say. I never really like a one-size-fits-approach when it comes to nutrition, and that's really what this documentary does. It takes a very one-sided stance and sort of suggests that this is what everyone should do. And we all have unique biologies, okay? I mean, what kind of fuels one person could really leave another feeling lousy? And that's one of my main issues with this documentary. So, you know, they're really making a broad generalization. The other thing is, it's not really completely evident in the first few minutes, but this is an absolutely pro-vegan film, which is really just kind of skewing studies and figures to make their point, the point that they want to make, which, honestly, there's even some parts in this film where they really seem like they are pro-sugar. I mean, that I don't understand how anyone could take that stance and you know, look you in the eye. And so let me just say right off the bat, before anyone tunes us out, I'm not debating the fact that there are tons of benefits for a vegan diet. I mean, of course there are, right? But there's drawbacks too. And I would say there's definitely some vegan foods that I personally would never eat. So we'll cover that later and we'll explain a bit more, you know, about potential drawbacks. But really, I would say over 90% of this movie is it's weak and poor science. OK, and it's mainly weak correlative and epidemiological studies that are cherry picked, really, just by the writers to sort of, quote, prove their point. So, I mean, rather, listen, I could pick this movie apart for days, but rather than make you guys wait for a sort of four-hour podcast going line by line, I'm just going to keep it simple, we'll keep it short, and I'm going to address their top three misses. What did they miss the mark on the most, in my opinion? So the first, this one was easy. The first What the Health claim is that, get this, sugar doesn't cause diabetes, meat does. Oh, really? Well, okay. The experts and doctors in, let me move back. The quote experts and doctors in What the Health are pro-vegan. Here's the thing, though. They're not actually introduced that way in the film. Now, I personally found that to be a little deceptive, right? And in the first kind of opening minutes of the film, quite a few of them, including this guy, Neil Bernard, who is the founder of the Physicians Committee for Responsibility. Wow, that sounds like something I should really take their word on, right? No, this is a vegan-promoting nonprofit, okay? So, again, they don't tell you that. He and a bunch of others suggest that meat and animal products cause type 2 diabetes, not carbs and sugar. Now, guys, I don't even need to... Oh my gosh, I am so frustrated by that statement. I mean, there's no science to back that up. I mean, there's none whatsoever. We've known for decades that sugar is absolutely the leading contributor in excess carbohydrates, the leading contributor to type 2 diabetes. There's a boatload of studies to back that up. Matter of fact, we even in a couple previous podcasts, we've touched on that, particularly the one about sugar, episode 4. But here's the truth. Inflammation is the root of most diseases. Okay, and there's boatloads of studies, like I said, linking excess sugar and refined carbohydrates to inflammation and type 2 diabetes. So on the flip side, there's actually certain animal foods that are loaded with healthy anti-inflammatory compounds. So, I mean, think wild-caught salmon, grass-fed beef. These are, you know, high foods that are high in omega-3 fatty acids, certainly not promoting type 2 diabetes. Now, I am not going to say that that meat, you know, sort of factory farm meat that's, you know, raised, crammed in a feedlot, and, you know, they've got this unnatural diet of pesticide-laden grains and drugs and hormones. There can be some inflammatory issues with those types of products, no question about it. But I just get so tired of the vegan films kind of beating this point to death. They put all types of meat in the same category. And I mean, that's just not fair. That's like putting all sugar in the same category and saying that high fructose corn syrup is the same as blueberries or raw local honey. I mean, nowhere near, right? So here's sort of some of what we do know when it comes to sugar and diabetes, okay? Type 2 diabetes is 20% higher in countries that have a greater availability of high fructose corn syrup, which is this, you know, this man-made sugar that's a higher concentration of fructose. 20% higher. Well, unfortunately, we in the U.S. fall squarely into that. The Swedish government actually backs a high-fat, low-carb diet for type 2 diabetes because of its low requirement for insulin. And they actually, as a country, also kind of note that a high-fat, low-carb approach is beneficial for weight loss as well. Now, I mean, that's not a mystery, right? But when you've got a country's government backing that, that's saying a lot. We've always known that a high-fat, low-carb ketogenic diet can help people with type 2 diabetes lose weight rapidly and lower or you know, cut the amount of meds that they need. And I mean, you know, carb cycling can do similar things. There's also Mediterranean diet that can be beneficial for kind of reducing cardiovascular impacts of type 2 diabetes. So, I mean, I'm not going to continue to go on this rant about how bad sugar is for you. I mean, we really, I think, covered that sort of ad nauseum in episode 4. But suffice it to say, what the health got this point way wrong. Way wrong, guys. Not even in the ballpark. So their claim number 2 by What the Health, eating a daily egg is as bad as smoking 5 cigarettes. Where does this come from? They provide no documentation to back this up. No. I don't know how to say it other than that. That's crazy. They're basically saying that eating eggs is as unhealthy as smoking cigarettes. And they're saying that, you know, 2 in 3 long-term smokers will die due to the smoking habit. Yeah, that's true. But the same isn't true for people that eat eggs daily. Not even remotely close. Matter of fact, you know, again, not a big, say I should, not going to tell you should do exactly what the government says, but our own government's Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee says cholesterol isn't even a nutrient of concern. So, you know, just, I'd be really curious to know how they made this this claim. But here's the other thing. Measuring cholesterol might even not be the best way to track heart disease anyway, or heart disease risk anyway, because actually low cholesterol in humans is actually linked to a higher risk of dying early than high cholesterol. So, I mean, what we really need to focus here on is inflammation. That's the real cause of all disease, including heart disease. And the health benefits of eggs, particularly pastured eggs, are anti-inflammatory. They actually lower the risk of heart disease. They provide for better eye health. The choline that's in eggs actually assists with liver function and brain development. And, oh, by the way, low choline levels actually correlate with fatty liver disease. So, you know, just saying. I mean, eggs, not nearly Not only are they not as bad as smoking cigarettes, they're a lot better than smoking cigarettes. So just kind of crazy. That one really caught me off guard and had to include it. Claim number three, they say that of all meats, the one to eliminate, that we should eliminate from our American diet is poultry. And their main reason for that contention is they say chicken is loaded with HCAs, so these heterocyclic amines that are, they're carcinogens. They are, no question. They're not good for you. But here's the thing. They're formed when any type of meat is cooked. Here's the thing. That's what they say. But here's the truth. They're formed when any type of meat is cooked above 428 degrees Fahrenheit. So things like frying and grilling where you've got flames licking up and, you know, causing all the charring and everything. Yeah, that can cause issues, and you generally want to avoid that. And we all generally do. No one likes to eat burned meat, right? So HCAs are bad. Chicken isn't inherently loaded with any more of them than any other type of meat. That being said, if you're marinating your meats and cooking them on the grill, or if you're just watching the grill so that if it's flaming up, you're shooting some water on there and knocking the flames down, you have nothing to worry about. That'll cut the HCAs down to almost non-existent levels. And oh, by the way, you can also bake, saute, stir fry. All these things are lower heat than 428 degrees Fahrenheit. So again, zero issue. So, you know, is there a potential for concern? Sure. The reality is it's very, very low. And, you know, now that you know, you can knock it down to almost nothing, right? So those are three huge misses. I do want to be fair. I'm going to try and be positive here. I think they got one thing right. Imagine that. Corporate collusion, okay? There's a lot of junk food corporations, and there's organizations that support factory farm meat and eggs, and they do absolutely influence studies and dietary recommendations, okay? And on the flip side, there's a lot of leading mainstream organizations that are actually associated with specific diseases that focus more on treatment than prevention, because frankly, there's a lot more money in treating than curing things. So there's no question there is some collusion there. But it gets so frustrating because these guys, I mean, just earlier this year, the American Heart Association was trying to, you know, worry us all about coconut oil, whether it's healthy or not. And we've known, you know, forever that coconut oil is, it's like this miracle thing. It's like the nutritional duct tape. You can use it for anything, right? So, but the AHA actually advised people to avoid it, even though there's a ton of emerging research that's showing all these incredible benefits for weight loss and gut health and even the brain. I mean, even for cognitive function for people suffering from neurodegenerative disorders like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia, coconut oil is awesome. So it's just funny that they would come out, off of one totally biased and now debunked study that says, hey, maybe this isn't so good, whereas for years and years, they're telling us to eat loads of inflammatory grains and factory farm meats and dairy, right? Just crazy. Just nuts. So don't want to drag this on too long. Try to keep things positive. So I'm just going to wrap it up here with a few sort of final thoughts on the what the health documentary. So here's the thing, guys. It's nothing more than a pro-vegan documentary that features vegan advocates and so-called experts, and most of them aren't disclosed as being pro-vegan during the film, and I have a problem with that. Just be honest with me. You know, don't try and beat around the bush here. And I totally agree that most Americans could definitely benefit from eating more vegetables, but going completely vegan does have some health drawbacks. I mean, there's some things you're going to be missing. And then on top of that, a lot of their so-called experts actually recommend cutting animal products and eating unlimited carbs. Okay, that's a horrible idea. I guarantee you, if you do that, you will pack on pounds and you'll give yourself a higher risk of type 2 diabetes, certain cancers, I mean, a whole host of other major health problems. So don't do that. Okay, don't listen to that recommendation. And I mean, as I said earlier, anyway, I'm not a fan of blanket nutrition recommendations, okay? I mean, everyone really does truly react differently to certain foods. I mean, there's some people that might really flourish on a vegan diet if they supplement properly, because like I said, you are going to be missing some things like B12 and certain proteins and whatnot from your diet. So with proper supplementation, sure, vegan diet can be great for someone. Others might, get better results with a Mediterranean diet or even a ketogenic diet. But you have to figure out what works best for you. I never recommend eating animal products from factory farms. I mean, these animals, they're exploited. The final food product, it's usually subpar in terms of nutrition. A lot of times it actually harms the environment, and it isn't sustainable. I mean, pastured beef and poultry, it's sustainable. It leads to a healthy, happy animal, and a more premium product at the end of the way for us. So, I also understand eating pastured products aren't always cost feasible. So here's the thing: you do it when you can, and when you can't, you make the best choices, and you make sure you're still loading up on vegetables, and still getting those meats anyway. You're going to be good doing that. I mentioned earlier a couple of vegan foods I would never eat. Those include tofu, canola oil, vegetable oil, really any of the industrial seed oils, and white unsprouted breads and pastas. Most of these they're inflammatory by their nature. They're really high in omega-6 fatty acids, which are inflammatory, pro-inflammatory. Non-organic versions usually test really high for pesticides. Most are just straight up toxic. I would say, on the one thing on the tofu spectrum, if you're into tempeh, which is fermented tofu, knock yourself out. That's all good, but regular tofu, not so much. I just think tempeh is pretty gross personally. But, what are you going to do? And last point, just to say, most people, again, can stand to eat more vegetables and, potentially even less meat. And I'm lumping that all together now as saying, like, maybe not as much pepperoni and, packaged meats and sausages and things like that. So if you do still want to enjoy those animal products, again, whenever you can, try to get those organic pasture-raised products. And when you can't, just make good decisions the best you can at the grocery store with your meat. Try your farmers markets, things like that, and still make sure you're getting tons of veggies along the side. Great high quality supplementation, and you're going to be just fine. So guys, that's enough of my rant. I sincerely hope this has helped you understand that you just can't always take these documentaries at face value. Okay. Typically they're really biased. They're agenda driven. It's just important to do your own homework. So that way you can kind of draw your own conclusions. My friend John, if you're listening to this, he actually give you a shout out. He actually said a great point yesterday, which was follow the money. If you can figure out who funded something like this, you're generally going to get an idea of the potential bias for it. So where it's coming from. So, and guys, lastly, I just want to point out again, I'm not against vegan diets. I actually think people of the paleo primal persuasion, which I certainly am, we're really not all that different from vegans and even some vegetarians, right? In general, we're focused on eating quality, real foods, and then quality vitamins and quality supplements. We're just trying to avoid sugary, starchy, carb-dense, industrial, oil-dense garbage that's coming in boxes or bags in the grocery store. So there really shouldn't be this, in my opinion, this battle. I get it. Some eat meat, some don't, but the rest of it should look pretty similar in general, okay? So, and that kind of brings me to our next topic for the next episode. What's the best diet plan out there for optimal health and weight loss? So I'm going to compare several nutritional approaches and sort of give you the lowdown on what may or may not work best for you. So until then, thanks guys for listening. Keep on rocking, and God bless.